This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome all of you to what we could call a bonus event in our series on the questions of the grave. Alhamdulillah, this event has been organized by Revivers, a society based in IIUM, a society made up of students, and we do our best to do da'wah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And over the past couple of months, we had a series of events on the questions of the grave. So we had three events with Sheikh Ibrahim Nuhu, Sheikh Abdurrahman Hassan, and Sheikh Tim Humble covering the first three questions. And finally, we've come to the last event where we're going to have a general overview of the life in the grave that a believer or disbeliever may go through. And for this purpose, inshallah, we'll be having Sheikh Bilal Asad from Australia to teach us more on this topic. Now, who is Sheikh Bilal? Sheikh Bilal was born in Williamson, Melbourne, Australia. He started Islamic studies at a very early age and acquired his Sharia knowledge in Lebanon. He then continued his higher education in biomedical science in Australia. The Sheikh has offered his service to the community for many years and has been working with the Islamic Society of Victoria for over 10 years. Sheikh also has audio lectures on many platforms online, which are very beneficial. I would really recommend all of you to, if you have time, to check out Sheikh's other works. So without further ado, let's dive into the meat of the session. And I would like to welcome Sheikh Bilal Asad onto the stream.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, salatu wassalamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. My brothers and sisters, it is a pleasure to once again speak to you in Malaysia, all the way from Australia, and I've been there a few times. Today, inshallah, without further ado, we'll go straight into the topic, and inshallah, I'll give you some time if you have any questions that you can ask me in the end, bi-idnihi ta'ala. By the will of Allah, I will try my best to answer them. I want to begin by saying that about 2 years ago, you may or may not know that I personally went through a tragedy myself. My own brother and son passed away, and it did affect me, as you can imagine. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assists the believer if they have true taqwa in him and they believe what he says. Now, one thing that played on my mind, and I think a lot of you who have, if any of you have lost their loved ones or anything like that, you want to know about the hereafter. You want to know what's actually happening to them. You need something called closure. And the more you know, I found that it was better for me and it gave me a bit more comfort. However, the problem was there is always a degree of uncertainty. You read all the verses in the Quran, you read hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there's always a degree of uncertainty. I wonder where my loved ones really are right now. So one of the things that I have to admit to you is that I wished personally that there was no punishment in the hereafter, no punishment in the world of the graves. Because we hear a lot about that. And at the same time, I got to a point where I even wished if there was nothing at all during the grave time, and I would be more comfortable to know that they were just like as if they were in a coma or sleeping, and that they will just wake up and not see or know anything, like a person sleeping. So I went and did more research on top of what I've already done all my life, and the classical information that any sheikh or scholar would study and research and get taught over the past 1,400 years of information that we have about the unseen world that has reached us and been transmitted to us, either through the Quran or through the hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there are many books that have been written about it. One very famous one is the one by Ibn al-Qayyim, which is called Hadi al-Arwah. And in a lot of these books, they have not just Quranic verses and hadiths, but they have many stories and experiences, encounters, I wasn't feeling comfortable with the stories and the encounters because this involved my close loved ones. And when someone's loved to you, you tend to want to be a little bit more specific. But really, brothers and sisters, we have to take it easy on ourselves. At the end of the day, the world of the unseen, nobody knows its reality and how it really is except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already tells us that He is Arhamur Rahimin, He is the most merciful. There's no one more merciful than Him. At the same time, He's just and fair, yes. So Al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also told us that Allah said in the Hadith al-Qudsi, أَنَا عِنْدَ حُسْنِ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. I am the way my slave thinks of me. فَلْيَظُنَّ بِيَ مَا شَاءَ. Let him or her think of me as they will. But when you think of me, Allah is saying, in a good way, I will be as that. Meaning I'm no other way. Assume of Allah well. And when you do that, your dua becomes better. You call upon Him better. Your words come out in the right place. And it will benefit you and those who have passed away. My brothers and sisters, when somebody passes away, they're not going to a villain or to someone who is cruel. They're going to Allah. And so assume well of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to prepare ourselves and to work towards getting into paradise and avoiding ourselves from hellfire and avoiding Allah's punishment and working towards His rewards. So part of it is our duty. And that's like a person or a teacher who tells their student, a caring teacher, the exams are coming, the exams are coming. So prepare, study, do your work. Sometimes they're firm with them. Sometimes they scare them in a good way. They say, if you don't study, you will pass, you'll flunk out. You might not have, you might not get into the courses or the future that you want. You'll find it hard. So sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes we have to encourage them. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. He gives us hope and He gives us fear. And that is aimed to us as living people. Some of us, we work much better with hope and others work much better with fear. But the majority of us work somewhere in between. We need to flip-flop between hope and fear. If we have too much hope, too much positivity in hereafter, thinking that everything's going to be okay, a lot of us will become negligent. That's the nature of humans. And if we are made to fear too much, then honestly, we become mentally ill and sick, and we no longer can worship Allah in the right way. And some people even leave Islam altogether or disbelieve in God because of exhaustion. So Allah keeps us, checked. A little bit of hope, a little bit of fear, and both of them, inshallah, help us along the way. As much as I researched after my brother and son passed away, may Allah have mercy upon them and upon your loved ones, I found that my wish did not come true. My wish that there is no punishment in the grave. My wish that it was just like sleeping. After doing thorough research once again, and I found that there are things which we have heard before from our parents, with things that we've even studied in the religious books, even of great scholars, that are actually not authentic or not reliable, and some of them are hearsay stories. But the majority of information still stands. In the hereafter, in the world of the graves, then, my dear brothers and sisters, there is blessings and rewards, and there is punishment and fear. And there is those who are in between. So there are three types of people and three types of situations. In this short talk, I can't go through all the academic research and the proof that all the hadiths about the world of the dead are authentic. That takes a long time, inshallah. But hopefully one day we can do a session on that, inshallah ta'ala. And the reason why I mentioned it is because in the 21st century, they've come out groups of Muslims. I don't know if they are Muslims or not, Allahu A'lam, where they've resorted to only claim that whatever the Quran says is true and anything other than that is not. They don't believe in hadith. And most of them are lay people. They are people who haven't had proper Islamic knowledge, like proper from qualified, trained scholars. But they've read a book here or there, and I won't mention any names of some scholars who the majority of scholars have said that they've lost their way, saying and even giving their own interpretation of the Quran, especially when it came to the punishment of the grave and the world of the dead.
they make up an interpretation that's more metaphorical, as if it's an imagination, and that and it sounds more like other religions than it is of Islam. My brothers and sisters, 1,400 years of information that is transmitted to us till today, and it is authenticated and it has been scrutinized over and over again by eminent scholars of the past who are like what you could call today archaeologists of the highest degree, have already brought and transmitted this and done all the work for us. And alhamdulillah, we have the authentic from the unauthentic, and we have the gray areas. So I'm going to today, inshallah, avoid the gray areas and the unauthentic hadiths and the unreliable tafsirs, the interpretations or commentaries of certain verses of the Quran. Inshallah, I will try my best to focus on what is clear and factual and give you the tafsirs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assisted me in understanding along the way. So I wanted to make this introduction so that you know that, my dear brothers and sisters, that I'm talking, this topic is personal to me. It's personal to me, and it really does matter a lot to me that I believe in it and what is right and what is wrong from it, because it involves my close family. My brothers and sisters in Islam, here we go. Knowing more about the hereafter and the unseen gives us comfort and gives us preparation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, actually in the Quran, let's start with the Quran, he gives a similitude, a relationship between death, the real death that we know about, and between sleeping. Death is not exactly like sleep, and sleeping is not exactly like death, but there is a relationship. Allah said in the Quran, in chapter 39, verse 42, اللَّهُ يَتَوَفَّى الْأَنفُسَ حِينَ مَوْتِهَا وَالَّتِي لَمْ تَمُتْ فِي مَنَامِهَا فَيُمْسِكُ الَّتِي قَضَى عَلَيْهَا الْمَوْتَ وَيُرْسِلُ الْأُخْرَى إِلَى أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Which means, it is Allah who takes away the souls of people at the hour of their death, and takes away at the time of sleep the souls of those that have not died. Then he retains the souls of those against whom he had decreed death, and returns the souls of others till an appointed time. Surely there are signs in this for a people who reflect. So the relationship, my dear brothers and sisters, from this verse between sleeping and death is the soul. The soul detaches or separates from the body. In sleep, the soul detaches temporarily and partially, whereas in the real death, the soul separates completely and totally. This is why the great scholars have named sleeping as minor death, al-mawtul asghar, and they called the real death, where your body decays and goes into the grave, and there is no more relationship or feelings between you and this life, they called it al-mawtul akbar, the major death. In both ways, the soul leaves the body, sees things, it feels things, it experiences things, but in its own way. And just like sleep, you are able to sometimes forget that you are asleep. You feel that you are actually in a real world. Have you ever been in a situation when you were sleeping and you were eating something or drinking or swimming or flying or running? Have you ever been in a situation when you feel that you're buying and selling, you're getting dressed, you're undressing, you're swimming, you're doing all this stuff? And have you ever been in a dream where you literally felt something physical on you, like a pinch or a pull or somebody touching you? Sometimes you felt really happy in your dream, as if you are in bliss and paradise. And at times you saw yourself in torment and fire and punishment and heartache. And at other times we have nightmares and terror. There are three types of dreams, by the way. The scholars have told us that one is from Allah. The other one is from your subconscious mind. What you see and do in your day, your mind repeats it. And number three, the ones from your shaitan. There's no time to go into that, but to know that one of them is from Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in the Sahih Hadith, which is in Muslim, Sahih Muslim, that prophethood has died with the death of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the essence of prophethood, the still some of the signs of prophethood that stay with us, or the similarities of prophethood, are righteous dreams that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to people, and these come to Muslims and non-Muslims. But the point that I'm trying to make out of this is that there is a relationship between death and sleep, and it's hard for us to imagine what happens to the soul when a person dies, because we don't live it, we don't see it, we've never been there, we've never seen anybody come back to tell us what actually happens in the afterlife. So what do we do? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents the Quran to us, and the prophets present the information to us in a similar way that scientists discover and learn about things. They look at past diseases, they look at past experiences, and then they work towards the future. Again, the Quran tells us, go backwards. Weren't you at one stage a human being? Nothing to be mentioned. Before we were born, what were we? We were nothing. We were nothing. And suddenly, here we are. That shows us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that just like you were nothing before, you could have never imagined to be here. Well, when you die, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can resurrect you, can bring you back to life, can give you a different life, just like the way you were nothing. And now here you are, talking and speaking and walking. The Quran talks about looking at land. Sometimes land is dry. Have you ever heard of a desert or a land that nothing grows in for thousands of years, and then suddenly scientists come and tell you, and earth scientists tell you, this land has now come alive. The rain suddenly came for the first time and crops grew. Yes, we've heard of dead land that comes to life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us just like that, Allah is able to bring you back to life. Allah is able to give you a life just with your soul, and Allah is able to make you into nothing. So my brothers and sisters, we move forward with the Quran by knowing the past and knowing our state today. Looking at sleep and thinking about how you dream, thinking about how you can sometimes hear people as you are falling asleep, and sometimes, or most of the time, you have absolutely no conscious of what is happening around you. Yet, you're in a whole world. You're experiencing time and place. And when you wake up, you don't even feel that time has passed. Isn't that correct? You feel time. Sometimes you've been sleeping for 10 hours. Maybe people have been in a coma, sleeping in hospital for 10 days, 2 weeks, 1 month, 2 months. They wake up and it's as if they just went to sleep last night. And that is one relationship with death. So let's go forward, inshallah. Now, when a person dies, where do they go? They go to a world, as the Quran tells us, is called the world of barzakh. Now, I'm talking to Muslims. So if there are non-Muslims listening at any time now or later when this gets recorded or placed on social media, inshallah, please understand that the topic of death and the logic of death is another topic. Well, I'm talking to Muslims here who have already believed in God's words in the Quran and the messengers and prophets which he has sent. These are the people I'm talking to. So inshallah, this is what I'm going to address and get to the point. Allah, God said in the Quran, as Muslims believe, وَمِن وَرَائِهِم بَرْزَخٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Allah says, there is a barrier behind all of them who are dead until the day when they will be raised up. This ayah is in chapter 23, verse 100. Allah says again, there is a barrier behind all of them who are dead until the day when they will be raised. This, my dear brothers and sisters, is a clear indication that when people die and their souls depart from their body, you go into a world which is, there is no logic to it in our current world. There is nothing of the laws of this world that can explain that world. And we know nothing of that world except what Allah and His messengers have told us. The word barzakh in Arabic, as you heard it just there, it literally means a barrier, something that separates one world from another. There are two worlds that the Quran has presented to us. This life that you and I are living in now, in which we are body and soul and mind, where we feel and we get sick and we get hungry and we get tired and sleep and all that stuff and die. And then there is a world after this called the barzakh. The barrier, you can call it, if you like, in sci-fi terminologies, another dimension. It is called the world of the dead, the barzakh. Allah says it is a barrier because it has no connection whatsoever with this world, and it has no connection whatsoever with the day of judgment, because the day of judgment has not come yet. It won't come yet. The person who has died does not experience the day of judgment. Everybody is waiting. All the souls are waiting right now until the entire world ends, as the Quran says, and then everybody is raised from the ground and the world and the sky will be changed to face the day of judgment. And then the reward and the ultimate reward and ultimate punishment is given, either paradise or hellfire, or somewhere in between, but that's another story. When I say somewhere in between, I meant that some people will enter and get punished in hellfire and then taken back out. That's another topic. As for the barzakh, what do we know about it? Where are the souls? What's happening to them? What happens in the grave? Is the grave metaphorical? Is it real? If I opened up the grave, will I see a person enjoying their barzakh world? Or will I see a person getting going through distress in a barzakh world? Will I see the body move or change? Can it hear me? Can I benefit them? Do they know who visited them? Do they experience visitations? Do they visit the dead among the people who died? Can I send news to them to give my salams to family who have passed away? What happens to them? Do they know they're dead? Do they feel? Do they feel time? Do they feel place? All of these, inshallah, I will attempt to answer them to the best of my ability. Allah also says in the Quran, إِذِ الظَّالِمُونَ فِي غَمَرَاتِ الْمَوْتِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَاسِطُوا أَيْدِيَهُمْ أَخْرِجُوا أَنفُسَكُمُ الْيَوْمَ تُجْزَوْنَ عَذَابَ الْهُونَ. Allah says, behold the time and the moment when the criminals and the unjust people are dying. They are dying. And the angels are opening their arms, ready to take their souls. Take out their souls, they say to each other. Today, you, O criminals, will be given what you deserve of punishment and humiliation. This is, my dear brothers, a verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the absolute time of death, the actual time of death. And that is when the soul starts coming out of the body. First, it comes out from the feet, up to the knees, to the hips, to the chest. And then it reaches a point where even doctors will tell you today, they don't know about the soul, those who don't believe in God. But Muslims, the Prophet ﷺ told us, called gharghatul maut. It is the time when the dead person or the dying person starts to, he makes a croaking sound or it's a chilling type of breathing sound. From the point here on in the neck. And what happens is that the soul has reached there. When the soul reached there, the person is in between consciousness of this world and consciousness of the hereafter. But they can't respond to you. They're in and out, as Allah calls it in the Quran, in an intoxicated state. Like a person who is intoxicated. He or she is able to start to see or hear things on the other side. What do they hear? They hear and see the angels, as the Quran says. These angels are the angel of death, and there are other angels that start descending from the heavens. And as Allah says it in the Quran, in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, right in the end, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and behold, when your loved ones are right near you, and they are dying before you, and they are closer to us than you are closer to them, but you cannot see what they see. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us in other verses that there are angels there and messengers from him who have been appointed to take the soul of this person. And even in this verse, which I just read, is proof enough, inshallah. As for the believer, the good person, the person who spent their life in fearing God and doing acts of righteousness and believed in Allah in the right way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Fajr, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'innah irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. A lot of you may know Surah Al-Fajr, right in the end, Allah says, It will be said to the pious, O you, the one in complete rest and satisfaction, come back to your Lord, well pleased yourself and well pleased unto him. Enter you then among my honored slaves and enter you my paradise. This verse, my dear brothers and sisters, talks about two stages of death. The first stage is what happens immediately after a person dies in the world of the barzakh. And then in the end, it talks about what happens at a later stage on the day of judgment. Everybody is resurrected once again in soul and body. The first part, which says, in complete rest and satisfaction. When a believer dies, the soul is at rest and satisfaction because the angel of death stands right at your head and begins to say good words. And I'll recite the hadith, inshallah, shortly. And the soul feels at ease and comes out with ease, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here in Surah Al-Fajr. And then Allah says, enter ye into my goodly slaves, meaning join with the other believing souls. And this is an indication, as the scholars have said, that the soul gets to see and meet the righteous slaves, the righteous souls in the world of the barzakh. In this particular verse, it came down when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's best friend and the first Khalifa of Islam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sitting with him when this verse came down, and he said, "O Messenger of Allah, there is nothing more beautiful than this." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "Ama innahu sayuqalu laka hadha." O Abu Bakr, this is what's going to be said to you when you die. So the believer gets these said. My brothers and sisters, some people deny that there is punishment, or they like hearing about reward and blessings, you know, in the hereafter. They all say, oh, they're in a good place now, but they don't want to accept the punishment and the miseries. And such is the nature of humans. They're scared. But in reality, brothers and sisters, Allah says in the Quran, for example, in chapter 40, verse 46, Allah says about the people of Pharaoh and his allies, they are exposed to the fire every morning and evening. And when the last hour will come to pass, a command shall be given. Admit the Pharaohites to an even more severe chastisement. And this verse, my dear brothers and sisters, is an express proof of the torment of the dead, of the world of the dead, of the barzakh world, which has often been mentioned in the traditions as the torment of the grave. Similar verses like this appear in Surah Al-Anfal, ayah 50 to 51, Surah Al-Nahl, ayah 28 to 32, and Surah Al-Mu'minun, ayah 99 to 100, and also Surah Yasin in 22 and 23, which indicates that when a person dies immediately after that, there is either rewards or punishment for the soul. This reward and punishment, brothers and sisters, do not confuse it with paradise and hellfire. That doesn't happen yet. That happens in the end. But the type of reward and punishment, the best example that I can give you that is close to our logical mind, although it's not exactly the same, I again say sleeping. When you go to sleep, even in this life, don't people experience joy in their dreams and other people experience torments in their dream? Yes, in science, if a person just wants to follow science, may say this is the work of the brain and the mind. And I have a science background myself, and yes, that is true. But as I told you, there is also a spiritual part to it, which is the soul. And that requires religion, and that requires revelation that has been received from Allah, from God. My brothers and sisters in Islam, moving on, the believer and the disbeliever. How does their soul come out? And when does death happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلٍ فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. Every nation and every people and every person, there is an appointed time for them when they will die. Allah says, and when their appointed time comes, they will not be delayed a single moment, and they will not be brought forward a single moment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Jumu'ah that when some of these people who know they haven't done well and they know they can't afford to die yet and meet God, especially the criminals and the unbelievers who then realize when they are when their soul reaches the gargling point, as I said before. Allah mentions in the Quran in several passages that they start talking in the world of the souls. They talk to the angels. And right from that moment, they say things like, take us back, put us back, put us back. And the angels won't listen. So then the soul says, oh Lord, tell them to put me back. Tell them to put me back. I will do other than what I did. I realize my mistake. Give me another chance. Send me back. This happens, brothers and sisters, wallahi, right at the moment the soul is taken out. And they keep repeating it all the way until the day of resurrection, until the moment they enter hellfire. As for the believer, what do they say? The person who died in righteousness, what do they say? From the moment they're taken out, they say, take me to my family and my property. They don't want to come back here. They don't want to come back here. My brothers and sisters, I'm going to say some interesting things now, inshallah ta'ala, of the descriptions of what happens from here on. At death, the following hadith is narrated in Imam Ahmad 17803 and Sahih Abu Dawood and in Bukhari and Muslim in summary. Here it goes. Upon the authority of Al-Bara ibn Azib, the companion of the Prophet ﷺ, who said, we went out with the Prophet, peace be upon him, to a burial of a man from the Ansar, original inhabitants of Medina, until we arrived at the grave and he still had not been placed in the slot of the grave. They were burying somebody and he wasn't being buried yet. The Prophet ﷺ then sat right near the grave and he brought a stick and began to poke into the ground, looking into the ground, pondering and thinking, and then looking back up until his eyes became a little bit teary. And then he said to us, O my companions, ask Allah for refuge from the torment of the grave. Ask Allah for refuge from the torment of the grave. And he repeated this command two or three times. Some of the du'as of the grave are things which prevent us from having torment in the grave and help us to get bliss in the grave, inshallah. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from the torment of the grave. He said it three times. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhab al-qabr. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhab al-qabr. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhab al-qabr. He then said, when the believer is about to depart from this world and go forward into the next world, angels with faces as bright as the sun descend from the heavens and sit around him in large numbers as far as his eyes could see. And then the angel of death says, O good soul, come out to forgiveness and pleasure from your Lord. Ukhruji ila maghfiratin min rabbiki wa ridwan. Then his soul emerges like a drop of water that flows from a water skin. In today's terms, if you grab a jug and you spill water from it, see how smooth the water spills out? That's how the soul of the believer comes out. And the angel takes hold of the soul. The angel of death holds the soul. The other angels who have descended, they look beautiful. They're wearing clothes that are bright. Their faces are bright. They look like humans, but they also have wings. They've descended from the heavens. And these angels, they can't wait to take the soul because they are more happier for the soul than anyone else. So then they say to the angel, give us the soul immediately. They don't leave it with the angel a blink of an eye, as the Prophet ﷺ said. And then when the angels take the soul, they take it and place it in a perfumed shroud. And a fragrance issued from paradise and comes out of that shroud like the sweetest scent of musk found on the face of the earth. Then they bear it, then they take it upwards. And whenever they take it past the heaven, we all know that in the Quran, Allah says there are seven heavens. Don't confuse them with paradise. Heaven in the Quran is just a translation of the word sama', and sama' means anything that is above. We don't know the nature of this sky or these horizons or these layers, only Allah knows, but they are seven layers. And the soul is taken with these angels up into these layers. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he described why the person who dies keeps his or her eyes open. He says the eyes follow the soul. Subhanallah. The soul goes up into the heavens, And then the angels who are of the heavens, there are angels, as you know, in the long hadith, that every palm span, there is an angel in the heaven, either prostrating or praying or making sujood. And they say, what a beautiful smelling soul. Who is this person? And those beautiful angels who are carrying it, it's like a party for them. It's a great celebration. They're taking it up into the heavens, Allah. And they say, Fulan ibn Fulan, so-and-so, son or daughter of so-and-so, with the best names they used to be called in this former world. And then they say, please open for us. And the angels open up one by one until they reach the last sky, the seventh sky, beneath which the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beneath the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah says to them, register the book of my slave in Illiyun and take him back to the earth. So the mighty and majestic says, record him or her in the high tablets, the high records, meaning they have something great in store for them. So this is the first sign Allah gives to the soul of the believer. And the scholar said, it is because of this that when a believer goes back to the grave, the metaphorical grave, if you like, the soul goes into the world of the barzakh, and it says the grave, but if you open up the grave, you don't see the soul or the body move. And I'll give an example very soon about how to imagine that. But when they go back to earth, it is there that the believer feels at ease and is able to answer the questions of the graves. The common thing that we know, the three questions, very easily, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already prepared the soul and calmed it, and so have the angels. My brothers and sisters, they return it to where the grave is. If a person was not buried in a grave, let's say they died in the ocean, or they disintegrated, or they were burnt, or whatever happens to them, again, it does not prevent from the person living that world of the barzakh. For the world of the barzakh is the world of the souls. It has no time and it has no place, and it's not governed by the physics of this world. And a good example to think about, just to bring the logic to your mind as much as we can, you know, when you go to sleep in your bedroom, you're in your house, you're in your bedroom, you're asleep, your body is there. Anybody can walk in and they'll see you sleeping on your bed. Isn't that right? You can take a photo of yourself, and your body is there sleeping nice and comfortable. But to you, you're experiencing a whole world. Isn't that right? That's your soul somewhere else, and it's not in your bedroom. So it has no attachment to your body. My brothers and sisters, when the soul is about to be returned back to where the body is, or a metaphorical grave, what only Allah knows how that happens. What happens there is that there is a hadith, an authentic hadith, where it says that people of the believers, the souls, are taken to paradise. Allah says, go and show them their property in paradise. That's before coming back to the grave, before the questioning in the grave. They go to their property in paradise, and they are placed inside of the bellies of green birds. You might be asking, how can I be in the intestines of birds? Remember, you're talking about a soul and the birds of the hereafter. Have you ever had a dream where you were flying, can see wings, and you know yourself you're on a bird, but you're not really in the bird, but you are? You can't explain it. That's the world of dreams. And the world of the soul is like that. So the Prophet ﷺ said they are in green birds, flying in paradise, seeing their property. And then the soul is returned. When the people bury you, the Prophet ﷺ said, as soon as the dirt is placed over the person, he would stand up and say to them, Ud'u li akhikum, make dua for your brother or your sister. Was'alu lahu at-tathbit, and ask Allah to make him or her firm. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited, Yuthabbitu Allahu alladhina amanu minkum bil qawli thabiti fil hayati dunya wa fil akhirah. Allah will make firm those of you who believe in him properly in this world, and he will make your tongues firm when you die. My brothers and sisters, as for the unbeliever, when their soul is taken out, it's the exact opposite. The angel of death comes to it, and he begins to viciously and harshly say to it, come out, O filthy soul. Come out, O dirty soul, to a wrath and anger from your Lord. And then angels, as far as they could see with their eyes, descend. But they are angry. They are disgusted by this soul. And they have shroud which has the essence of the fire, and smell that has from the smoke of the fire. As soon as the angel of death takes the soul of that wicked person, when I say unbeliever, we are talking about people who are wicked. They deliberately disbelieved in Allah. We're not talking about somebody who never heard about the message, or somebody who was born insane or was a child. That's another topic, because we know that Allah is just and fair. We're talking about the person who deserves the punishment, and they are usually the unbelievers, and they are sometimes Muslims, believers, who have died with major, major sins. But we're going to get to that, inshallah. The soul is taken by these angels, and it is taken up into the heavens. They're given a chance. However, every angel in the heavens that smells this soul, they say, "What is this dirty, filthy soul?" And they call him or her by the most ugliest names they used to be called in the former life. And then the skies, the doors of the skies close up. Nothing opens up for them. And this is where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, where Allah said in the Quran, لَا تُفَتَّحُ لَهُمْ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ وَلَا يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ لا تفتح لهم أبواب السماء ولا يدخلون الجنة حتى يلج الجمل في سم الخياط. They will, the doors of the sky will not open up for them, nor will they enter it until the camel can go right through the hole of a needle. You know, the needle that you sew with, and that can never happen. Their souls are then tossed away back to the earth. And then the time of the grave comes. There are three situations in the grave: the situation of the believer, the situation of the unbeliever, and the situation of the major sinner. So the believer who is a major sinner. The believer, his or her soul is then returned to his body. How is it returned to the body? In a manner and a form that does not fit the physical world that we know. However, there is some kind of attachment, some kind of consciousness of the soul with the body in a way that we cannot comprehend. Again, we can probably give an example of sleeping and when your soul is close to your body, but you're not really awake. Have you ever been in that situation? Kind of a trance type of sleep, or there's, you know, other names for it. Lucid dreams. If we experience those things here in this life, isn't it easy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can create another reality for the soul and the body in a world that is not attached to this world? Yes, he can. My brothers and sisters, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, by the way, 1347 and 2870. He said, "Inna al-abda idha wudi'a fi qabrihi," when the slave is placed in their grave, "wa tawalla anhu ashabuhu," and then their companions, relatives and family walk away, إِنَّهُ لَيَسْمَعُ قَرْعَنِ عَالِهِمْ, he or she can actually hear the footsteps walking away. Again, the scholars have talked a lot about this. Is it real? Do they really hear from their ear without their brains? Have they got sensory receptors that they can hear? No. But again, the soul is what is hearing it, and there is some kind of attachment to the body, but in a world beyond this one. How? Only Allah knows. This hearing is only temporary. It is short, and then the hearing fades away. So, unfortunately, when we visit their graves, a lot of people have asked me, do they hear us when we say hello, when we say salamu alaykum? When there is a big difference of opinion among the scholars about that. But after researching extensively, I have personally come to the conclusion to follow the groups of scholars who said that generally, they do not hear you, but it is possible for the angels to take your greetings and your salams to them and let them know. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We move on. Two angels come to him, the believer. They make him sit up and they say to him, "Who is your Lord?" And he will say, "My Lord is Allah." They ask him, "What is your religion?" And he replies, "My religion is Islam." They ask him, "Who is this man who was sent among you as a messenger?" He says, "The messenger of Allah, I believed in him." They ask him, "How did you come to know these things?" And he replies, "Qara'tu kitab Allah, I read the book of Allah. Wa amantu bihi, and I believed in it. Wa And I said the declaration. I declared that it is true. وَشَهِدْتُ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ. Then a voice from a high declares, my slave has spoken the truth. أَنْ صَدَقَ عَبْدِي. فَأَفْرِشُ لَهُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. So spread out carpets from the garden of for him and open a gate of the garden for him. Show him his place in paradise. Then some of its fragrance and perfume comes to him. They open up like a portal to his place in paradise, and fragrance and smells come to this person wherever they are in this metaphorical grave. The grave, but in a different world. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continues by saying, and a man with a beautiful garments and a fragrant scent comes to him and sits by his side and says, Abshir, rejoice in what delights you, for this is the day which you were promised. فَهَذَا الْيَوْمُ الَّذِي كُنْتَ تُوعَدْ. He asks, who are you? فَوَجْهُكَ الَّذِي يَجِيءُ بِالْخَيْرِ. Yours is a face which brings goodness to everybody who looks at it. And he replies, أَنَا عَمَلُكَ الصَّالِحِ. I am your good actions. Then the soul says, O Lord, let the last hour come. Let the last hour come now so that I may rejoin my family, rejoin my family and my property in paradise. My dear brothers and sisters, the soul in this time, the scholars differed, but the most common opinion is this, that the soul roams. It roams between the grave and paradise, and it roams between the grave and sometimes meets the other souls, and roams and comes to you in your dreams to give you messages or to talk to you. And it has blessings and blisses, which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. As for the unbeliever, now the unbeliever's turn. They're the exact opposite. They ask him the three questions and they cannot answer the angels. And then a caller from heaven says, my slave has lied. Because the person says, I said whatever anyone else said. Because when they say, who is your Lord? What is your book? They've already realized the truth at this point. They've seen the angels and they realize the truth. And they haven't got an answer because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seals their heart. They're not able to answer it. So they say, oh, la adri, in the end, oh, I don't know then, I don't know. So when they say, I say whatever people said, Allah says, my slave has lied. Give him a taste from the fire. Open a door for him to look through at hellfire. And then something happens. The grave or the earth crushes him or her till his or her ribs begin to cage in and intersect. And then he is hit with a steel sledgehammer between the eyes. The Prophet ﷺ said in this hadith, he screams until every living being can hear him except the thakalain, the humans and the jinns. And then a repulsive person comes to sit with him or her. And he says, who are you? Your face only brings bad, and whoever looks at you torments them. Get away from me. And he says, ana amaluka sayyid. I am your bad deeds. This is your fault. You delayed your good deeds, and you went backwards until you turned me into this. I can never leave you. I'm stuck with you. And then he is shown his place in paradise. And the angels say, this was your reserved place, but now you've been exchanged. It's been given to someone else. Look through this other portal. And he looks through another portal and sees hellfire burning itself. And they show him his place in his seat in hellfire. At that point, the person gets terrified and says, Allahumma Rabbi la tuqim as-sa'a. My Lord, please do not let the last hour come. This hadith where he says, do not let the last hour come, and they tell him, look at your reserved seat in hellfire, is in Sahih Bukhari 1347 and Muslim 2870. Now we're left with the major sinner. What is his or her fate? They're the people who believed in Allah, and this is the majority of Muslims, unfortunately, today. They believe in Allah. They say, I love Allah. They pray on and off. They do major sins, and they hope that Allah will forgive them. Because when we read the Quran, we seem like we're automatically going to paradise without doing anything. All we have to say is, I love you, God, and that's it. Well, that's not enough, my dear brothers and sisters. It doesn't happen that way. We have to work towards it. But the major sinners, this is what happens to them. The ulama have unanimously agreed. They say, إِنَّهُ فِي مَشِيئَةِ اللَّهِ. إن شاء عذبه وإن شاء غفر له. He or she is at the discretion of Allah. If Allah wills, He'll punish him or her, and if Allah wills, He'll forgive them. Allah may give some punishment to that person to make up for the punishment of the hereafter. So they get punished for a little bit, and then they're okay, and then in the hereafter they're okay. And some of them, they get punished throughout the entire time that they are dead. And then when the hereafter comes, they've made up for it. And some of them, their punishment continues from the grave. It gets worse in the hereafter. They may enter hellfire. And then with the intercession of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and with Allah's intercession later on, they are taken out. And this is also in the Quran and in the authentic hadiths. My brothers and sisters, Allah is merciful. And at the same time, He is just and fair. And at the same time, He is loving, but also He will hate. He hates those who chose to neglect Him and chose to go against Him. So there is no such thing in Islam where Allah loves everybody unconditionally. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may hate people as well, for they deserve it, but those who chose that. And there are those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and the love is exchanged. My dear brothers and sisters, and very quickly now, I'll go through some forms of bliss and forms of punishment in the grave. I'll just say them, inshallah, and leave the evidences for later if you want to know them. My brothers and sisters, the rewards and the punishment in the grave, or we'll just say the grave. I don't mean, when I say grave, by the way, I just want to remind you, I don't mean that if you open up the grave, you're going to see it. We just use the word grave as a metaphorical world. What it means I'm talking about is the barzakh world, the world of the souls. So in the world of the souls, you get physical and psychological rewards or punishments, physical and psychological. The believer, for example, gets to visit paradise. Some get more, some get less, some get to just see it and not go there. All of that is goodness. And the believer gets a garden of paradise in their grave, a garden. Something looks like a garden from the essence of paradise. Their grave looks like it's been spread out. They look like they've got a huge place. It doesn't even look like a grave. Look, doesn't look like this world at all. It's a garden of paradise, as far as their eye could see. And they get the sight of Jannah. They have a lovely company. They visit their relatives and friends in their dream, in your dreams. And they eat and drink from Jannah every now and then. Some of them more, some of them less. Among other things which happen to them of the world of the bliss. As for the unbeliever, they have the sight of hellfire in their face every morning and every evening. You might be asking, hold on, is there time in the barzakh world? No, there's no time. But morning and evening is according to if we were living here every day, morning and evening, meaning very frequently. There are winds and breeze from hellfire that comes into the grave. There are pits from hellfire that come into their graves. Sledgehammer that we mentioned. The grave squeezes, as we mentioned. And here are some other things that are shared between unbelievers and shared between believers who died with major sins. Some of them are stolen items. If you've stolen in your life and you have not repented to Allah and returned that property to the person, it is turned into fire and the person is wrapped with it. If a person stole shoes, the shoes are turned into fire in their grave in that barzakh world, and they have to wear them and burn their feet. This is all upon the soul. The soul feels it. And this is evident in Bukhari and Muslim, the hadith of a man who was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what happened was that he stole an item in the battlefield which didn't belong to him. And an arrow got him, and the companion said, "Oh, Ya Rasulullah, he's a martyr. He's a martyr. He's going straight to paradise." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Oh no, he's far from it right now. He has been wrapped with the item that he stole, and he is burning right now until he pays it." There was an incident where the Prophet ﷺ went to Isra wal-Ma'raj, the famous Isra wal-Ma'raj from Surah Al-Isra in the Quran. And in the famous hadith, which is in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ saw many things. I'll just mention one, two, three, four. I'll mention four of them. He said, "I saw a man that was lying down with an angel who was deaf, dumb, and blind, and crushing his head with a stone. The stone would fall, would roll away, and then the head will be returned back to normal, and the angel will crush his head again and again and again. And he or she is a person who received the Quran and refused to follow the Quran, and they are people who deliberately miss out on their Fajr prayers." There was another man he saw. His face was being ripped from side to side with a hook. And the angel said, Jibril alayhi salam told him, he or she is a person who spreads lies and spreads rumors about other people until it puts people into trouble. And then the Prophet ﷺ heard screams of men and women inside of a hot oven, what looked like a huge oven. And Jibreel ﷺ said, they are the fornicators and the adulterers. And lastly, he saw a man swimming in a river or a lake of blood. He would go to the other side, and he would come back, and there were rocks. He'd put them in his mouth, swallow them, and he would go and vomit them out on the other side and swim back. Over and over again, Jibreel said, he does this until the day of judgment. This is a person who knew that usury and interest and riba was haram, and they consumed usury and riba. My brothers and sisters, the Imam Ibn Hajar, the great Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani and other scholars said, this hadith is an indication of punishments that are occurring for people in the barzakh world. Let's move on to some technical issues, inshallah. Do the dead feel time? A lot of people ask me, do they feel time? The answer, my dear brothers and sisters, is no, they do not feel time. And sometimes they're confused of space as well. Where are they? So they don't have the sense of time or space. And the evidence is in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 259. Allah says, أَوْ كَالَّذِي مَرَّ عَلَىٰ قَرْيَةٍ. I'll just say it in English. Or consider him by way of example who passed by a town that was fallen down upon its turret, gone in ruins. He exclaimed, "Man yuhyi al-'idhama wa hiya ramim?" How will Allah restore life to this town that is now dead? Allah then caused him to remain dead for 100 years and then raised him to life. And he asked him, "How long did you remain in that state?" So the man, this is a true story in Surah Al-Baqarah. A man went past this village that had gone into ruins, and Allah made him die. He had a donkey with him, and he had some food. He made him die. And then Allah raised him after 100 years back to life. And he said to him, "How long do you think you were in that state?" And the man said, obviously through an angel, the man said, "I remained for a day or part of a day." قَالَ لَبِثْتُ يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ. Allah then says to him, "No. You have rather stayed for 100 years, but look at your food and your drink. There is no deterioration in them. I didn't let them deteriorate. That's my miracle to you. I want to look after you. But look at your donkey. Look at your donkey, how its entire skeleton has rotted. And we did all, and look how we will bring it back to life. And we did all this so that we might make you a token of instruction for people. And see how we will put the bones of the donkey together and will clothe them with flesh." Thus, when the reality became clear to him, he said, "I know that Allah has power over everything." Again, brothers and sisters, this is evidence from the Quran that the dead person does not feel time. And there are other evidences in the Quran on the Day of Judgment. People ask themselves, "How long were we in the earth? How long were we dead?" And they would say, "A day or part of a day, 10 days, a few days." So no, they don't feel time. But this is what happens. You do feel you're going through all of this, but when it's over, you only, and your body comes back with your soul, you realize, hold on, it's only a little while. And again, a good example is when you go to sleep. Sometimes you're in your sleep and it goes on and on and on. But when you wake up, what happens? Like nothing. Another question. Do the dead receive rewards and du'as from you? The Prophet, peace be upon him, yes, did say, when the son of Adam dies, all their actions are cut off except for three things. An ongoing charity they left behind, they will benefit from it. Or a piece of knowledge they taught someone that people are still learning from, they will benefit from. Or a righteous child who makes dua for that person. In fact, there is a beautiful hadith which is in Sunan Ahmad, number 10, number 10232, where the Prophet said, إن الله عز وجل لا يرفع الدرجة للعبد الصالح في الجنة فيقول يا رب أن لي هذه فيقول باستغفار ولدك لك. A person may be raised in their ranks in the world of the barzakh, and the angels will show them a higher level in paradise one day, and they say, "Oh my Lord, where did I get this extra reward?" And they will say to him, "Because you have a righteous child who is making du'a for you." Do the dead feel who visits them? Well, there is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he said, any of you who passes by a grave of somebody whom they used to know in the former life and they used to know them, and they say assalamu alaikum to them, Allah returns the soul back to that person and they reply to you, wa alaikum assalam. This hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, has many issues though. Some scholars said it's kind of authentic and others said no, it's not reliable. But some scholars believe that at times, maybe Allah will make the dead person hear you. There's something that I want to share with you about the world of the barzakh, which I haven't said yet. How do the people, the souls, see each other? There's a beautiful, beautiful hadith, which is in An-Nisa'i and Tirmidhi, and it's been authenticated by the scholars of hadith. It says that when the angels take the soul up into the heavens, you know, the story of taking up them when they die, and before they come back to the grave, or some scholars said after they go to the grave, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, then the angels bring the souls of the people who have passed away, the believers, and they all come to meet this new soul. Can you imagine that? You've died. And all these souls, they're always waiting for somebody to come into the barzakh world. It's like when you go to the airport and you're waiting for a, you know, your father or mother or a brother or sister or a relative or a friend. It's about to, you know, waiting for their aeroplane to land, and you're waiting at the airport, waiting for them to come out through the doors. And you're looking at the time and everybody's guessing. Now they're coming out. Next minute they're coming out. And some people have games, you know, they said, let's see who gets it right and from which door they're going to come out in the airport when people are arriving. Yes, you know that how we do that. And we all get excited. And as soon as they come out, we all cheer and everybody runs to them, right? Us Lebanese people, I don't know if the Malaysians do this, we create a fiasco in airports. You know, everybody looks at us and all of us run, and then people can't even get out from the doors because we all gather around our father or mother or whatever, and we block all the entries and we all want to hug them and kiss them and ask them a lot of questions. Well, that's how the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam described the state of the believing soul when they pass away, and the other believing soul hear about them and they all rush to him or her. And they all want to ask them. What do they ask them? The Prophet ﷺ said, they ask them about their relatives. They ask them about their friends. They ask them about their sisters, their children, their parents. They ask who got married. They ask who gave birth. You know why? They're not interested in the worldly stuff. But because when you're in that world and you see the blessings that Allah SWT has given you, they can't wait for you to join them. But they don't want you by yourself. They hope that you're married and that your husband and your wife and your in-laws and your children and all of that come, because they want to have a big party, not just a few people. SubhanAllah, can you imagine that? And as the people run to this new soul, you know what? You know, this is very interesting I found, SubhanAllah. As they're asking them, the new soul is overwhelmed. It's like when you're jet-lagged. So the person is jet-lagged sort of in the barzakh world, and someone says, the angels say, da'uhu, da'uhu, just leave him for now. Innahu ja'a min ghamm ad-dunya. He's just come from the claustrophobia of the world. SubhanAllah. Did you hear that, brothers and sisters? The angels say, leave him just now. Give him some rest. He's confused. He's just come out of the ghamm, the claustrophobia of the former life. This is how those souls see this life, brothers and sisters. This is how the angels see this world. They call it the claustrophobic world. Everything in it makes you feel tight and out of space. You can't breathe. It's torment. It's hard. This world is ugly. Nobody wants to return to it. And they say, leave him. He's still jet-lagged. In other words, he's still confused. Just came out of the claustrophobia of the world. And then later on, they have discussions with them. What about the unbelievers? Well, the unbelievers also meet unbelieving souls, but it's the worst type of meeting. Nobody wants to talk to anyone, and everyone is in their own torture and their own punishment. Brothers and sisters in Islam, I'll leave it here, inshallah, because I don't want to take more time than that. And if you have any questions, I can have about 10 minutes, inshallah ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Salam alaikum wa rahmatullahi. Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh, for an enlightening talk on the story of the grave. It was filled with very, very needed reminders and at times truly terrifying descriptions of the life in the grave if you don't do the correct thing in this world. In any case, let's move on to the question and answer session, inshallah, as we have limited time. So the first question that we have, the first question that we have is that we know that the first person to be resurrected is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the first to enter Jannah is our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But during the Mi'raj, the Prophet saw many other prophets in heaven. So this person is asking for an explanation as to...
Yes, Jazakallah khair. Very quickly, do you remember in my short talk just now, I mentioned that in the Quran, they often translate skies as heaven. So the word heaven doesn't mean paradise. The true word for Jannah is garden, Jannah. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ascended into the heavens and he saw those angels, they weren't in the actual Jannah. Some of them were in just the heavens, the skies, in a way that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. But there are situations where he met with their souls in paradise, real paradise. For example, Ibrahim alayhi salam is in the real paradise and he looks after children. He's like a babysitter, Ibrahim alayhi salam. So if he saw their souls in paradise, it's not their bodies. And the one who enters paradise, it means the first one to enter it in mind, body, and soul. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he actually entered it with his body. However, what he saw of the prophets were their souls, not their body. And I hope, inshallah, that removes the confusion.
All right. Jazakallah khairan. The next question is, this is a question from a non-Muslim. So the question is, there are different levels in Jannah. So what if my family is in a higher level than me? What would be my situation? I think that's the question.
A question from a non-Muslim.
Yeah.
My dear brother and sister, because Muslims are and non-Muslims are brothers and sisters in humanity. We are both from the children of Adam. So although we're not brothers and sisters in faith, we are brothers and sisters in humanity. My dear brother and sister in humanity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God, He is the one who informs us who goes to paradise and who doesn't. And we all wish and hope and want for everybody to go to paradise. We make dua, we make supplications for them. And God tells us, help them, teach them, go to them, learn together. So it's something that all of us are yearning for, all of us are striving for. And it's up to God's mercy to place us there. However, on the day of judgment, it is God who has to decide who goes to paradise and who doesn't. What he has informed us here is all we know. And all I can tell you is that if a person died knowing the truth, understanding the truth, you know, didn't receive the truth of, say, the Quran or the words of God or Islam in the correct way, you know, like the media that we watch, the mainstream media always brings the ugly side of Islam. And a lot of people think that that is what Islam is, so they start staying away from it. Well, for these types of people, we can't say they're going to hellfire. All we can say is, well, look, I mean, they're not Muslim, but God is just and God will judge them according to what he knows about them. There is another tradition from our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, another transmission of a hadith, of a saying that he said. He said that on the day of judgment, four types of people will not be rewarded or punished until they are tested again. They get a different test in the hereafter. And they are people who were born with mental illnesses, or people who had a disorder, or people who have never heard the truth, or the people who received the truth in a twisted manner, in a confused manner. Had they received it in a proper manner, that they would have embraced it. So these are types of people whom the Prophet peace be upon him said, they won't just straight away go to hellfire or paradise. They'll get a different type of test in the hereafter again, and then they'll get a second chance. And if they pass it, they get what they deserve. And if they fail it, they get what they deserve. So if a non-Muslim's parents are Muslim or they deserve paradise, okay, we won't use the word Muslim. Let's say they deserve paradise and God placed them in paradise. Then God will not unite, according to the Quran, God does not unite the people who have disbelieved in him with the believers in paradise, even if they were their parents. Because in this world, we have a connection of blood. And we are ordered and commanded to honor our parents and respect them, no matter if they are Muslim or not. And we're meant to look after our children, whether they are Muslim or not. However, in the hereafter, it's not the same bond anymore. Families, relationships are no longer a responsibility. Everything changes in the hereafter. It's no longer the same anymore. And we have a statement in the Quran where God tells us, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." We all belong to God, and to Him we are all going to return. Me, you, my parents, your parents, my brothers and sisters, my children, all of us, who do we belong to? We belong to God. If my son belonged to me, I would have saved him. But God took him back. And I say to God, he belongs, and to God he will return. I have no say in the matter. We are all just slaves of God. We are all just servants of his. However, if there is a chance for this person to enter paradise, then this is what's going to happen to families. In the Quran, God says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَمَا أَلَتْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ كُلُّ امْرِئٍ بِمَا كَسَبَ رَهِينٌ. Which means, and those who believed, who had faith, those who had faith and their offspring, their children, followed them in faith, in correct faith, meaning to the hereafter, they all died on correct faith, and their parents ended up in higher places. Allah says, we will take up to them and unite with them their children who followed them in faith, even though their children do not deserve the higher place of their parents. And we will never bring the parents down. So Allah is saying, we will not bring the upper down, but to satisfy the parents and to fulfill their pleasure and their happiness in paradise is to bring them their children and their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, all those who had faith, and unite them up in the higher heavens and paradises with them. That's what will happen according to what the Quran tells us. I hope I answered your question.
Sorry. The next question is, regarding those that have passed away due to Down syndrome, what happens to them? Do they go straight to Jannah?
Yes, so I think we answered that question just before I mentioned the authentic hadith. I just didn't mention where it is exactly, inshallah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about four types of people that in paradise, that on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will retest them, give them another judgment. And you can find this actually in Tafsir Ibn Kathir. You know that the famous Tafsir Ibn Kathir, the great Imam Ibn Kathir, the famous commentator of the Quran. And he talks about this in detail in about two or three pages. And he says those who are like the Down syndrome people, the people who are severely autistic, because he's got different levels of autism. I'm a counselor, by the way, so there's different levels and types of all these different sicknesses. So the more severe the mental illness is, God knows how much capacity they had to understand and comprehend in this world. And based on that capacity to comprehend and understand, God will judge that person accordingly. God says in the Quran, وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. Your Lord is not an oppressor to his slaves. And Allah says in another place in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ. Your Lord, Allah does not oppress, does not wrong, even if it's the size of a mustard seed. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. Your Lord never oppresses anybody. Anybody, can you imagine that a person who is destined to hellfire will not be placed in hellfire on the day of judgment until they are convinced and admit that they deserve it wholly and fully? That's how Allah is. So imagine for a person who doesn't have any mental illness, the people with Down syndrome, of course, because they're missing one chromosome, they have a disorder and they're not able to comprehend to a certain degree. Yes, they have the ability, they have the capacity to do a lot of things. Yes, we have seen people with Down syndrome, mashallah, achieve tremendous things. And as we said, there are different levels, there are different severities of Down syndrome. But all depending on their level of comprehension and their ability, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge them or retest them accordingly, or he will forgive them or let them go or pardon them. You know, Allah pardons even the people who were deliberate. He can pardon murderers. He can pardon people who did atrocious things in life. Can you imagine then a person who had Down syndrome? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon us and forgive us with his mercy.
JazakAllah khairan for that explanation. All right, the next question is, would we be alone in the grave until the day of resurrection? Will there be any chance that we could meet our ancestors?
So inshallah, I think I sort of explained that in the talk, but I'll clarify a bit more inshallah. So the believers who are rewarded, like they live, they're in a good place, okay? Let's just say they're in a good place in the barzakh world. According to the hadith in An-Nisa'i, which is authentic, Yes, they meet ancestors. They meet people, not only ancestors, they meet all sorts of souls. Remember the hadith that I just mentioned, that the souls rush to them? The Prophet ﷺ said they are more excited in meeting you than when you wait for your beloved one coming from a far journey. So they rush to them and they ask them questions and they meet them. Yes, that's true. The grave, no, you are alone sometimes and sometimes you're not. The person who deserves punishment in the hereafter, they're not alone, but at the same time, they don't want to see anybody. They're busy. They're in their torture. They're just, you know, too much into it. But according to the scholars, they differed on their opinion. Some said that they're always seeing whoever they want all the time. And some said, no, every now and then they do meet other people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not leave them alone. As I said, sometimes they visit you in your dreams. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that this is a part of the prophethood that Allah left out of it, where you see the world of the barzakh. When you go to sleep, your soul meets souls of people who passed away in the barzakh world, actually. So to answer your question without knowing the details of it, yes, you could meet people and you're not always alone. No.
All right, Sheikh, this would be the last question. It's a bit expansive. So the question asks, can you share what happens to martyrs in the grave? And a second part of the question is, in these days of mostly peaceful times, how can we aim to die upon martyrdom? So that's
martyrdom means many things. There are over 10 different ways that a person can be a martyr. In Arabic, in the Quran, it's called a shaheed. And that's a higher form of righteousness that a person, a higher righteousness of death, if you like. And they get more privileges, those who die as martyrs. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said there are many types of martyrs, and each one, they're in different ranks. One of the ways a person can be a martyr is a person who is murdered. Another way a person can be a martyr is a person who has died of a terminal illness, a ta'un. Another way of being a martyr is a person who dies protecting their property and their land. Another way a person can be a martyr is drowning. There are some narrations about a woman who dies giving birth. But the highest form of martyrdom is a person who stands to say a word of truth against a tyrant ruler, to change oppression to justice for the people, and their life is on the line. And then they are killed by that oppressive ruler or his regime and or his allies, and that is the highest form of martyrdom, to speak a word of truth. A one that is lesser than that is a person who sacrifices their body and their life and their wealth in the cause which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, against an enemy who is trying to fight against God or against the believers of God or the allies of the believers or the person who is oppressing other people, and you jump in to fight for the cause of God, to please God and for no other personal gain. An example of that is that lady, that American lady that once stood in front of the tank in Palestine, where she stood in front of the tank of the Israeli occupying army. And it ran her over. Now, in physical form, that's called shahada, that's martyrdom of the highest degree. But the only things that we hope for that separates her from others, we hope that she was a believer. So a full martyrdom in Islam, well, obviously to us, she's a martyr of humanity, and people can build things of her and say good things and all that stuff. But, you know, if she was a believer, then it would be a martyrdom in the hereafter as well. So there's martyrdom in this life, martyrdom in the hereafter. So a shaheed is someone like that. I just wanted to sort of clarify. Some people, they act like they're martyrs, but really they did it in order for people to praise them. Well, that's not a martyr, even if they believe in God. So it has to be done with clear intentions and good sincerity and really wanting peace. Because some people need to fight in order to bring peace. Sometimes you can deal with peace in order to bring peace. Now, in a time that we live in, every country, every place has its own way of. So what is martyrdom is when you die struggling and striving to bring about truth against false. That's basically what it is. Or to uplift justice against oppression. That's what it means. Fi sabilillah, in the way that pleases Allah, on God's terms. That's what it means, on God's terms. So if you live in a time of peace, there is no need for you to fight physically and just because you want martyrdom. That's causing chaos and causing trouble. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam welcomed the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, you know, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, the peace treaty with the enemies of Mecca, who had been at war with him for about over, you know, most of his life. And when they said that we will have 10 years of a peace treaty between us, no more wars between us, you know, and he accepted immediately, even though the agreement was really unfair and unbalanced because there were some other conditions and the companions got angry. But the Prophet ﷺ was after peace. So fighting, some people misunderstand that you have to fight and you have to get martyrdom even if you have to fight. And then some people, they pick fights and they call it that it's in the name of Allah. If you're in a time of peace and there is oppression and injustice, then you got to choose what works. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ. Whoever of you sees something that is false and bad, change it physically if you can. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ. If you are unable to change it physically, and being unable doesn't mean that you are unable because you tried but you couldn't. What it means is that if physically will most likely not bring about the objective, the goal of, you know, such as, let's say, justice, not going to bring out justice, going to make it worse, then physically is not going to work. So he said, فَبِلِسَانِ. Use your tongue. And when you use your tongue, you've got to think about what works. What works? And if the tongue doesn't work, then at least hate it in your heart. Dislike what's happening. Don't sit there and say, I accept it. Because one day, inshallah, you will be an ally to other people who are like you, who feel the same way. And obviously, we're giving examples about, you know, injustice and oppression. So all of this, inshallah, is an act of jihad, my dear brothers and sisters. Jihad is not confined to just lifting the sword and the guns. That may happen if need be, such as in a country where you have to defend the Muslim population against an enemy who just wants to resist and not stop and not come to a truce. That happens with every country, except that you do it in the name of Allah. However, living, for example, in Australia or Malaysia or anywhere, there is no justification whatsoever to any form of physical fighting or struggling in order to reach martyrdom. Martyrdom can be with you writing, authoring, speaking, giving da'wah. If there is something that you want to change, see how you can change it within the system that you live in. A lot of people think that I don't want to use the system, I don't want to use the legal system. They think because it's a kufr system, it's a disbelieving system. Yes, I agree, it's a disbeliever system, it's not a system of God. But when you live in a country where the laws are upon you, you can't change them, you're living under them, then in order to bring about good from something bad, you need to work within the system like everyone else. And that, inshallah, will be your form of jihad, will be your form of, and martyrdom can come through your struggle. If you die in the process in any way, shape or form, then inshallah you die a martyr, because you are dying in the cause of bringing about, for the sake of Allah, something which is good, not something which is bad. An example of that is, subhanAllah, when in the battle of Badr, I think, or was it Uhud? I forgot the name of that Sahabi. SubhanAllah? Tha'alaba? No, not Tha'alaba. La ilaha illallah. Anyway, this companion, he went with the Prophet ﷺ when the Quraysh enemies were built an army to come to Medina and demolish and destroy the Muslims. They found out, so they had a few members of the Muslims go out, and then it was Uhud. And they camped at the battlefield before the enemy arrived. And there were wells over there, or a bit of lakes and stuff. So the Muslims took over those lakes and to take it so that the enemies can't drink from them and quench their thirst. And then in the middle of the night, one of those companions went to have a drink. And there was another companion waiting guard. And he thought that one of the enemies had gone. He didn't know it was his brother in Islam. He didn't know it was one of their people. And he shot him with an arrow and killed his own brother, not knowing that he was one of the Muslim army. And when they went and found that it was one of the companions, he said, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So the Prophet, when this companion's mother came to the Prophet, she was upset and she said, tell me where my son is. If he is not in the highest place of paradise, if he is not a martyr, then I'm going to go crazy. The Prophet, she said, have you gone crazy? Ya Ummah so-and-so, I forgot his name. Have you gone crazy? He is in the highest of paradises and your son has reached al-Firdaus al-A'la. Why? Because his intention was going to help to change, even though he did nothing. So if you were going on a pathway to change something from oppression to justice, and you chose the right way, remember the Prophet ﷺ wasn't just silly and went out and did anything like that. No, you have to think in the right way, what works, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ. Prepare what is relevant and what is good and what is right against injustice, not just haphazardly going. So I just want to make sure that people do understand this is a great topic and it's a long one too. But I just thought I'll summarize it, inshallah, that martyrdom can happen in so many different ways, my brother and sister. There was a brother here, I think it was here in Australia or in Britain, in London, I'm not sure, a Muslim brother, I think from Sudanese or Somalian brother. He saw an old woman walking in the street. He didn't ask what her religion is, but someone had attacked her and he jumped in to protect her, and the guy stabbed him and he died, subhanAllah, rahmatullahi alayh. If his intention was to do so, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saving this woman, then inshallah he is a martyr as well. What level of martyrdom? That's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decide. So as you can see, brothers, I just gave you a very quick summary that, subhanAllah, the road is open and it's very wide, and we do have to use wisdom in what we say and what we do, bi-idhnihi ta'ala. Thank you for your questions, my brothers and sisters, and thank you for your being here with me and giving me this opportunity to talk about an important topic. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from any punishment in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only reward us. May Allah treat us with His mercy and forgiveness and not treat us with what we deserve. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us in this life and in the hereafter. We assume well of you, O Allah, and we only know that you will forgive us and you will pardon us and you love to pardon. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
JazakAllah khairan, Sheikh. We'll wrap up the event. Then subhanakallah bihamdik ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.